and welcome to week number 4 of my home study program, Finding Emotional Balance. This program is designed so that you will learn how to balance your mood and relieve depression and anxiety using a nutritional and holistic approach as a first line of defense, without resorting to the use of pharmaceutical drugs that are potentially habit-forming, not to mention have many undesirable effects. You will learn how to recognize signs of mood issues that are nutritionally related, as well as nutrients and strategies that you can use to avoid a full-blown mood disaster. You will get the tools and action steps you need so that you can start taking control of your own health and well-being. If you're like me, juggling many things, such as family and career and other responsibilities, we're so bombarded with the tasks and information that there are times we feel overwhelmed, and we react by being quick-tempered with people or picking an argument with our spouse or even screaming at our kids for just being little kids. And no, it's not just you being a bad person. There are nutritionally related root causes to these mood issues that are creating trouble for our sanity and costing us a harmonious relationship with our friends and families. Have you noticed that maybe you skipped lunch once because you got caught up in your work and you started being very upset for some inconsequential reason at 4 p.m. Or maybe you feel low and beat up a couple hours after having a lot of caffeine and sugary treats. Well, the knowledge and tips that I will share with you today are going to change how you see the relationship between food and mood. You will learn how to balance your emotional well-being and your emotional wellness using nutritionally based strategies as your first line of defense. This will create an emotionally balanced life that will last you much longer than the temporary relief that medication can bring you. Along with the audio today, you'll be provided with handouts and recipes that are relevant to the topics that we'll discuss. You can do this course at your own pace, but I highly recommend that you set a date for implementing the changes and have someone hold you accountable. So set a goal that is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. Before we begin, I want to take just a couple minutes to tell you a little bit about my struggles with food. I used to struggle with the highs and lows that came with eating a diet of refined carbohydrates, too much sugar, and not enough nutrient-dense food to balance out my day. I would get a rush from sugar, feel a crash, then reach for another sugary treat to pick me back up. I would get moody and tired and irritable, and that wasn't the way that I wanted to be. But once I learned how to eat properly and learned what foods I needed to be eating, that all changed. My moods are balanced now, and I feel a bit more sane because of it. So I want to share my knowledge and experience with you so that you can gain control of your emotional wellness starting now without the long struggle that I had to go through. So take a moment to visualize what your life would be like when you're in control of your emotional well-being. How would you feel differently? How would you behave differently? Would you have more quality time with your children? Would you be able to create a more harmonious relationship with your spouse or significant other? Or maybe you'll have more patience to be present with your best friend or family. And take stock of what's blocking your effort. Journal about your challenges and see what is really holding you back. Get to the bottom of it. It's time to stop hiding behind your excuses and take action to live your life to the fullest. Hopefully you're still using the food journal and noticing the impact of foods on your overall well-being, including your physical wellness, your mental clarity, and of course, your emotional self. Notice what happens when you eat a lot of refined packaged foods. Do you feel hyper and then crash? Are you hungry 30 minutes later? Do you get moody or cranky? Crave more sugar even though you should not be eating them and then feel guilty afterwards? So I want to share some knowledge and facts on mood swings, depression, and anxiety with you, so we have a solid foundation to build our action steps on. While symptoms of depression can be severe and include thoughts of wanting to hurt yourself and moments where you can't get off the couch, not all depression is that obvious. There are people who live with what's called a low-grade depression. It means that these people are still functioning in society. For example, they have relationships and jobs. However, life just doesn't have the same zest to it that it might if the person were not depressed. Maybe they have to push themselves extra hard to get motivated, or maybe they just don't find too many things interesting. Some people eat less, some eat more. Some people find themselves easily irritated, while others might snap out of anger easily. And some people, depression just might mean that they're bored a lot and find it difficult to engage in activities. They might also have a low self-esteem that doesn't seem to change. Now, anxiety is a form of stress. We all have some degree of anxiety. It is instinctual. It is activated by the oldest part of the brain in the area in charge of flight or fight. Because of that, anxiety can be very useful. It can inform us when we are in a dangerous situation. However, for many people, their anxiety has crossed the boundary of normal anxiety levels. Extreme forms of anxiety include obsessive thoughts or compulsive behaviors, panic attacks, and phobias. People who have experienced a trauma such as an assault or a car accident might experience PTSD. However small, traumas affect us deeply and can cause a person to feel anxious. Things that happened in our childhood might not seem like a big deal, but they do affect us. When a child's cortisol levels remain elevated, the brain becomes very accustomed to this chemistry, and anxiety becomes the normal state of mind. This is why someone who feels anxious might perceive they feel that way all the time and worry about everything. Anxiety has a very physical connection. Anxiety and depression often go hand in hand. Someone who is depressed can in fact feel anxious about what is happening to her. And someone who gets anxious frequently is typically going to start feeling some depression as a result. The cause and effect of these two things takes individual attention and time to figure out. That's why cultivating a high level of awareness is so important. Since depression and anxiety often go hand in hand, one cause of depression is trauma. There is also a genetic link to depression. Family members might not talk about grandma's depression, so it can be difficult to know. However, if there is a family history that involves someone taking his own life, or substance abuse, or criminal activity, it can be a red flag of a history of depression. Depression can also be learned. A parent or caregiver with depression may be modeling poor or insufficient coping skills to a young child. In addition, depression carries difficult thought processes, such as generalizing one situation and applying it to all situations, or thinking in very black and white terms. These thinking patterns are most likely learned. Oftentimes, people suffering from depression have to unlearn a few things through therapy or counseling. Now, mood swings are different from depression and anxiety. Mood swings can have a genetic component like depression and can be relatively mild to very severe. In some cases, the mood swings can mean periods of staying up all night, having moments of high productivity, then having problems focusing, as well as engaging in maybe some risky behaviors such as gambling or casual sex. Usually, it's behaviors that don't feel normal and might cause the sufferer to be not recognizable by those close to the person having the issue. So, after learning some quick definitions of depression, anxiety, and mood swings, I want to share with you some personal risk factors that you can watch out for. These include a family history, a history of trauma, a fragmented attachment to primary caregivers, unreasonable high personal high expectations, difficulties adjusting to life's pulls and pushes, a lack of external social support, limited hobbies or interests, and a pattern of strained or failed relationships. Women are also more susceptible to depression, anxiety, and mood swings due to changes in both hormonal levels as well as circumstances, which can create stress and anxiety. It is It has been noticed that women who struggle with fertility and have difficulty conceiving can also have an increased risk of developing postpartum depression. So before I share with you information in the next segment to help you balance your emotions through nutritionally based strategies, I wanted to take a little moment to acknowledge that there are forms of anxiety and depression that are severe and will require the intervention of medication, at least for a short period of time, to bring things to a point where the person can become functional. Short-term medication is often advised if the sufferer has a tendency to hurt themselves or suffer from extremely low energy levels, that they're at risk of losing their job due to not showing up to work. Another instance would be postpartum depression, where a child's well-being may suffer. So to sum up what we discussed in this first segment, we talked about the importance of setting intentions and goals and cultivating awareness. I advise you to keep a journal to help you get started. I gave you an overview of depression, anxiety, and mood swings, and we talked about personal risk factors that you can watch out for. We understand that there are conditions and circumstances under which short-term medication is necessary and advised, and I would urge you to make sensible choices that are in the best interests for yourself and your loved ones. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the causes of emotional imbalance as related to our diet, nutritionally related triggers to emotional imbalance, 6 simple ways you can use nutrition to help regulate mood, and the use of herbs to aid emotional well-being, as well as the role of hormonal balance and stress on emotional wellness. All right, we'll jump right into these tools. So many instances of emotional imbalance can be traced back to neurotransmitter deficiencies. 50% of Americans over the age of 14 experience debilitating depression or anxiety. All of us have genetic potential for negative mood triggered by stress and trauma, and most importantly, amplified by poor diet. Our modern standard American diet contributes to our problem in emotional health. The standard American diet is deficient in nutrients important in neurotransmitter production. In fact, the first symptom of malnutrition is emotional imbalance. This diet consists of highly addictive sweeteners such as corn syrup, which contributes to blood sugar fluctuations and mood swings. We're also slashing fats from our diet, but good fats are essential for proper brain functioning. Most of the foods that people are addicted to these days are triggers to negative mood. We need support and the right tools to reduce those foods in our diet. And unfortunately, the proper knowledge and adequate support system is also lacking when people are dealing with their addiction to mood-altering foods. There are 3 specific nutritionally related triggers that I want to discuss today: hypoglycemia, food intolerance, and neurotransmitter dysfunction. Okay, so the first trigger is hypoglycemia, or low blood sugar. This occurs when your body's sugar, or glucose, is used up too quickly, or when glucose is released into the bloodstream too slowly, or too much insulin is released into the bloodstream. Now, although it's most common in people with diabetes, it can happen in healthy people from time to time as well, especially when there is a big fluctuation in blood sugar level or if the person hasn't eaten for a long period of time. Skipping meals, not eating enough during meals, or a genetic tendency for low blood sugar and not compensating by adding extra meals or snacks can all contribute to hypoglycemia. Some symptoms are double vision, a fast pounding heartbeat, feeling cranky, acting aggressive, feeling nervous, headache, hunger, shaking, sweating, tingling or numbness of the skin, tiredness or weakness, sleeping troubles, all of those. Hypoglycemia can cause mood swings, which is most commonly defined as irritability or the easy to get angry. It can also extend to violent behavior. In fact, a majority of domestic violence can be attributed to hypoglycemia. Low energy phase caused by hypoglycemia can translate into a flat depression, an increased reactiveness to stress, as well as bipolar disorder can be traced back in part to hypoglycemic swings. There are a few ways to alleviate mood issues caused by hypoglycemia. The first is to eat meals with a low glycemic load. And we talked about this before. It's a measure of how quickly the carbohydrates in meals are broken down into simple sugars and absorbed by the body. The higher that glycemic load, the faster the absorption rate, which creates a big fluctuation in blood sugar level, causing it to first spike and then crash. To create a meal with a low glycemic load, which will help balance blood sugar levels, try substituting refined carbohydrates with whole grains. Include a generous amount of vegetables, a moderate amount of lean protein, and some good fats, which can slow down the absorption of the carbs. To keep blood sugar levels even, experiment with having 4 to 5 small meals or snacks a day instead of 3 big meals, but only if this is a problem for you, because if weight loss is your main goal, you need to keep to your 3 meals a day and 1 snack a day. Also, avoid processed foods as much as possible, as well as anything that contains sugar and refined carbohydrates. Sugar is an addictive substance, so if you have a lot of sugar in your current diet, try to remove it gradually using the tools I gave you in the Taming Your Sugar Shrew module. Remove it gradually instead of going cold turkey. If you need extra help with balancing blood sugar levels, there's a few things that you can supplement your diet with. The basics are a good multivitamin to deal with, you know, any backlog of deficiencies. Also vitamin C, and an essential fatty acid, which is known as omega-3s or fish oil. If you need further support, you can use a mineral called chromium, which helps balance blood sugar levels, and L-glutamine, which is an amino acid, which helps reduce cravings and balance mood swings. It's best to discuss taking these supplements with a healthcare professional before you integrate them into your routine. Okay, so next, number 2, gluten intolerance. The second trigger for mood swings, depression, and anxiety. People who are gluten intolerant can suffer from mood problems, depression, and anxiety when they eat foods that contain gluten. In children, this can also be expressed as learning disabilities or behavioral issues such as hyperactivity. Gluten can damage the brain and nerves of gluten-sensitive people. The symptoms from gluten occur through its action on the nervous system and affect brain function. Gluten intolerance often expresses itself as chronic bowel problems, especially constipation or diarrhea, and cravings for gluten-containing foods such as refined sweets and starches. The best way to find out if this is a problem for you is to actually eliminate gluten from your diet for 2 to 3 weeks, and then add the gluten-containing foods back into the diet and observe the reaction. The number 3 cause is neurotransmitter dysfunction. If hypoglycemia or food intolerance is eliminated out of the equation and the causes of mood issues, then we'll need to look at neurotransmitter dysfunction. So our brain depends on these neurotransmitters to transmit signals. These transmitters are made up of amino acids, which come from the protein in our food. And the brain is definitely protein dependent. It needs amino acids, which make up the protein, to manufacture the neurotransmitters. There are 2 sources of protein, animal and plant. Animal protein is the only high protein source with a complete profile of essential amino acids. People who have removed animal protein from their diets can suffer from neurotransmitter dysfunction if they neglect to carefully replace animal protein with well-balanced plant protein sources. It's not to say it can't be done, though. An average person needs 25 to 30 grams per meal, and more if metabolism or your activity level is very high. Muscles can compete directly with the brain for these amino acids, so adequate protein intake is particularly important for athletes or those who weight train and people who do physical labor or have physical jobs. It's also worth noting that neurotransmitters that regulate mood also regulate our appetite. When we become deficient in our neurotransmitters, we start craving carbs and sugars. The more deficient, the more cravings we have for unhealthy sources of carbohydrates such as refined sugar and processed carbs. If dietary improvement is not enough to relieve depression and anxiety and to counteract the cravings for bad mood foods such as refined carbs and sugar and corn syrup, then supplementation may be necessary to correct the imbalance. This is called amino acid therapy. The process is to identify negative mood symptoms and see what nutritional supplements are most useful for the symptoms. And this is something I work on one-on-one with my clients as it's highly personalized. The most common reason for depression is serotonin deficiency. The precursor of serotonin is tryptophan, which is the first to be lost in a low-calorie diet. It is most common for people who skip meals and are addicted to empty calories. Nutrition supplements are very effective in helping to restore balance. Chromium and glutamine can show effects within 24 hours for mood issues related to hypoglycemia. Most people don't need to take them long term unless they have a genetic neurotransmitter deficiency, which would show up as a family history of depression and anxiety. However, not everyone is suitable for amino acid therapy, particularly if you have a pre-existing condition or taking other prescription medications. And never try to self-prescribe. You need to work with a qualified professional before taking amino acid supplements. Okay, now that we have talked about the definition, the risk factors, and the triggers for mood issues, I want to share with you six simple ways to use nutrition to regulate mood. The first is to just eat regularly. This will help keep your blood sugar levels steady, preventing mood issues caused by hypoglycemia. Some people are okay with three meals a day, but most can benefit from eating smaller meals and adding a couple of snacks in between. Just like your main meal, your snack should be low in glycemic load. You want to start with whole grain and non-starchy vegetables, add some protein and good fats. Some ideas would be whole grain or sprouted bread with nut butter, like almond butter or cashew butter, and apple slices with almond butter, carrots, and celery with hummus. Number two, don't skimp on carbs. Carbohydrates have long been demonized, but your body needs carbohydrates to produce serotonin, which is a feel-good brain chemical that elevates your mood and suppresses appetite and provides a calming effect. However, not all carbohydrates are created equal. Only complex carbs, which are high in fiber and packed with whole grains, have a positive effect on mood, whereas simple carbs such as candy and cake, cookies, breads and pastas, and other sugary choices bring you down. Do you need a quick mood boost? Try an all-carb snack like a couple cups of air-popped popcorn or a whole grain English muffin. Number three, get enough omega-3 fatty acids. Those are found in fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, and sardines, and they improve both your memory and your mood. And experts recommend at least two servings of fatty fish per week. Other sources include ground flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts, organic canola oil, and omega-3 fortified pastured eggs. If you're a vegetarian or for any reason you don't eat fish once or twice a week and you're experiencing mood issues, you might want to look into supplementing DHA or fish oil for a period of time to see if you see any improvements. Sometimes to jumpstart the process, you need to start with a higher therapeutic dosage of 1,000 milligrams of DHA or higher to compensate for any deficiencies. Number four, get enough iron, vitamin B1, B6, folic acid, selenium, and vitamin D. I have included a list of foods that are rich in these nutrients in your handout packet this week for easy references. I'm going to give you a few quick tips here regarding these nutrients. Vitamin C can help increase iron absorption. When cooking iron-rich food, you can add a squeeze of lemon juice, or cooking in cast iron skillet can also increase the iron content of your food. Iron supplements might not work for everyone and can cause constipation and stomach issues for some folks. Too much iron can lead to toxicity and reduce absorption of other minerals as well. Folic acid supplementation should not exceed 400 milligrams per day, except for pregnant women, because a high dose of folic acid can mask a vitamin B12 deficiency, and that can lead to some irreversible damages sometimes. The best way to get vitamin D, which lifts your spirits, is definitely by getting enough sunshine. Just 15 minutes of sun exposure without sunscreen most days of the week will do the trick. And if you live in northern parts of the country, you may need more time in the sun or supplementation, especially during the winter season. Cod liver oil is a great source of vitamin D. Number 5, watch your fat intake. Greasy choices, particularly those high in saturated fats, are linked to both depression and dementia. Try to reduce animal foods that are high in saturated fat. Restaurant foods, takeout, and fast foods are all generally high in these kinds of fats. So eating good home-cooked food is the best way to monitor your overall fat intake, as well as the quality of fat that you eat. Now, number 6, moderate your caffeine intake. In moderate amounts, caffeine can enhance physical and mental performance, but too much can spur anxiety, nervousness, and mood swings. So stick to 1 or 2 cups a day to avoid the negative effects. And keep trying those other caffeine alternatives, such as black or green tea, yerba mate, and rooibos. African bush tea or rooibos has the body of black tea, yet it's caffeine-free, and they have it at Starbucks. You can also wean off by blending caffeinated with decaffeinated and gradually increase the portion of decaffeinated tea, or coffee, excuse me. So these are 6 simple ways that nutrition can help regulate your mood. Can you write down 3 things that you'd like to implement in the coming week? Pause the audio now and try to think of some of the things that we've just discussed. Okay, so besides the above nutritional approach that I just talked about, herbs are often used to alleviate conditions such as depression, anxiety, and mood swings. And one of the most promising herbs lately is St. John's wort, which has been used for centuries for treating depression, anxiety, and nerve damage. To break out of a state of depression, you'll also need to strengthen your nervous system. Besides a diet rich in vitamin B and calcium, you can also use herbs such as lavender and lemon balm and oats. Oats are great for depression and anxiety, and passion flower is a great one for nerve stress and can be combined with lemon balm and oats and St. John's wort to make an antidepressant tea. Valerian, which is also another herbal tea, can help regulate your sleep, and ginseng and licorice can help energize the nervous system. Now, one word of caution, lemon balm can have an effect on your thyroid function, so people suffering from hypothyroidism should avoid using this herb in larger quantities. What about that time of the month? For us ladies, staying emotionally balanced is always more difficult during our periods. The hormone fluctuations that we experience during our periods can be challenging for some. Sorry, fellas that are on this call. So vitamin B6, zinc, and magnesium have been shown to help alleviate PMS symptoms. In some cases, hormonal changes disturb blood sugar control, cause sugar and caffeine cravings, and bring on symptoms of tiredness and irritation. In this case, eliminating sugar and stimulants from the diet as well as eating complex carbohydrates and fruits in small quantities and often, can help relieve the symptoms. The most important of those is magnesium. Magnesium has shown great promise in reducing PMS symptoms, and especially migraine headaches. If these dietary changes cannot help completely resolve the issue, you may want to see if your PMS is caused by estrogen dominance or a relative lack of progesterone. This condition may be brought on by prolonged use of birth control pills, and you'll need testing by your doctor to see if that's the case. Last but not least, stress can contribute to worsening of depression, anxiety, and mood issues. You want to try some adaptogens such as ginseng or holy basil, which you can find in your herbal tea section. They can help your body better deal with the effects of stress, or relaxing herbs such as chamomile, lemon balm, and oats. Calcium also has a great calming effect on the nervous system. So load up on those calcium-rich foods such as leafy greens and your bone broth during dinner to help you rest at night. And next week, we're going to talk in great detail about stress management techniques, so stay tuned for that info. Okay, we have covered a lot of good information on how to use a nutritionally balanced approach to relieve depression, anxiety, and mood swings. So I hope you found some useful tips. This concludes our Emotional Balance Home Study Program. Bye for now.